Being broke is no joking matter at all. Not fun, not cool, not cute at all. Not as a barber, but just in general in life, being broke is not fun. Today, I have a story to tell. I have a story to share with you. Something that it can happen to you. The question is, will you be prepared? Are you prepared? And of course, just got to give you an update on what's going on in my life. Obviously, I've been missing for, I don't know, what, 3-4 weeks? Haven't seen you guys. So I know you guys miss me. You miss my anecdotes, miss the stories, the information, the knowledge. And I'm here to give it to you. So this is a double header, if you will. So if you guys are listening to this video, I was just alive, so I'm doing a double header. I'm giving you guys a twofer on the podcast front. So here we are again, back-to-back Jordan 96-97. All right, so let's get right into this. Being broke is no joking matter. If you guys know or have been around for an extended amount of time, you will know that the content of the channel has shifted once the pandemic started, because I realized the importance of finances, investing, you know, personal responsibility. I realized this is more important to barbers than me doing a haircut tutorial for you guys, me hitting you with the hottest vlog, me hitting you with the product reviews and all this stuff. This is more important, guys. And that's been my mission the last couple years with this channel. And just to help you guys, give you guys some knowledge and things like this that can help you be a more sustainable barber and really a person. For that matter, especially if you're married, have people that rely on you. These things are very important, very core tenets of being a responsible person. And I noticed with a lot of barbers, just from obviously me being a barber, a lot of people are not. There are a lot of deficiencies in people's personal lives as it pertains to finances and other things. Shout out J Beats and Waves. I see you. You know, it's crazy. With the notifications, you may have not gotten a notification for the first podcast, which I've noticed this about YouTube. There have been a couple times where I've done the podcast and the audio was off. So what I'll do is I'll cut the stream and then I'll come back up. But then when I come back up, there's more people than when the first one went live, which makes me think, is YouTube sending out partial notifications to people? I don't know. I'm not in the back running this machine, but I have an inkling that that's the case. Seeing how you say you didn't see the first live, it's kind of weird, but you saw this one, right? So it's kind of weird. I don't know. Now, we talked about why I've been MIA in the first podcast, but let's also talk about, again, why I have been MIA in this podcast, because this is part of the reason why. The first week I was away from the podcast, I was just like, oh, let me just take a week off. Then the next week came around and I was like, oh, I got stuff going on. Then the next week came around and I was like, ooh, I got stuff going on. Then the next week came around and I was like, ooh, got more stuff coming on. I had every intent of doing the podcast yesterday, but I had stuff going on. So what is this stuff that I refer to? What is this stuff that I'm talking about? This stuff is my transmission went out on my car Saturday. Yeah. Without warning, guys, without any, like, oh, hey, beware, I'm about to go out in about a week, so, hey, you better make the necessary accommodations to rectify this or blah, blah, blah. No, without warning, nothing, no, nada. And that's how it works in life. You don't get the flare that goes off in the air and you're like, Oh my gosh, that is that what I think it is? Is that the signal? Oh, let's get ready. No, you have to be ready. So let's talk. Let's start from the top, shall we? And by the way, this podcast is brought to you by I Do a Finance and Coaching and Consulting and Mentoring. If you need some of that, hit me up on Instagram. I Do a Barber. We're one-on-one call where we'll go over your finances, some budgeting, some investing strategies to help get you on track, to help get your aim on track. Because what I'm about to tell you guys is me practicing what I preach. I have been on here. I've been advocating so strong about this for the last few years. And I tell you guys about building a strong economic base around yourself. Have your own economic system within the U.S. economic system to where you can thrive and work. Okay, let's get into it. So Saturday morning, I'm going to the barbershop. Now, a normal day of me going to the barbershop, don't think anything of it. Driving, and I can't help but notice once I get closer to the barbershop, and I don't know if I just didn't notice this in the beginning, but I noticed my battery light was on. I'm like, that's strange. Now, I've had this car for years and this type of car for years, and I know that the battery light, once that is on, from my experience, that means the alternator is going bad, which I've had to replace the alternator, I think, twice in this car. So every time that has gone off, it's been the alternator. Now, this particular car in an older model, I've had the transmission go in that car. It threw a check engine light that time. But with this one, it was just a battery light. So the car was running fine. So I was like, oh, okay. Now, every time that the alternator went bad, I learned that, okay, hey, once I get there, let me unplug the battery. And once it's time to go, I'll replug the battery, make my way home, and then figure it out from there. But it was a little strange because the battery light would go on, then the indicator would go off. So I said to myself, and we're going to get there, JBs and Waves. Shout out to everyone who's watching. Shout out to you guys. Share the podcast. We're going to get into this. So I go to work and, you know, normal. This was a Saturday. So I was like, okay, Saturday, boom, 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 boom. And I told myself, if it is the alternator, and let's say I'm not even going to disconnect the cable from the battery. I'm not even going to, if it is, I'll just let it be, right? And I'll just take an Uber home. I'll just take an Uber home. So I took that risk. So it was time to go home, crank up the car. Oh, it cranks up. I'm like, okay. This probably isn't the alternator. I was like, this is strange. Now the light goes off again and I'm driving. And on my way home, the light had gone on and off a few times. So I'm like, this is really strange. This can't be the alternator. I don't know what this is. Obviously, you know, it didn't throw a check engine light, so it was kind of hard to diagnose. And I just wanted to go home. So I get close to my house and I'm coming down the alley. Now, one of my across the alley neighbors, he's doing something with his gate and trying to park his car. So I had to stop and wait for him to do his thing. And then I can go park in the back of my house. Now, when I stopped, whilst I was stopped, I felt a jerk, like it's almost like a. And it felt like the engine or transmission just shifted on its own. And when that happened, I was like, that's not good. This feels kind of familiar. Now, I'm still stopped. Now, he finished. Now, it's time for me to drive to go pull in to the back of my house. When I pressed the gas, the engine revved, but the car didn't really move that well. It was moving super slow. And I was like, oh, my goodness. This is probably the transmission. I've felt this before. Remember, I told you I had a car like this, but an older model. I've had the transmission go on that before, and it was that exact same feeling. Pressing the gas, car is going like super slow. It may get up to speed, but it's like super slow. So I'm like, damn it, transmission. That's what this is. Transmission is messed up. So at this point, it's Saturday. I'm off Sunday. Monday, I work. Tuesday is my day off. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll use this Sunday to figure out what I want to do. Just, you know, just brainstorm. I'm not in a rush. Why am I not in a rush? Why? Ask why. That is the ultimate question. And I've been trying to figure out this. I've had this saying in my head. And I'm wondering where. I'm going to do a real quick search to see where I've heard this saying before, but it's been going through my head. I don't know where I've heard this saying before, but I'm going to say it. And if you guys know, tell me please, because I've been saying this in my head, but I don't know where I've heard this from. So it all goes back to this whole scenario after it happened and the things leading up to now, because the situation is still not fixed. If you're curious, because I see JB Zoways, he's asking how much did it cost to repair the transmission. We're going to get there. So this saying that has been resonating through my head is money buys you time. Time buys you options. I don't know. I've heard this somewhere. This is not a saying that I came up with, so I'm not trying to be cool and clever, but I know someone has said this. I just don't know who, and I'd love to give whoever it is credit, because that saying is so fitting in this situation. In this situation, it is so fitting. Money buys you time. Time buys you options. Now, in the normal circumstance, ask yourself, if your transmission were to go, what would you do? Would you be stressed? Because here's the thing. Transmission can cost like $3,000 to $4,000 to fix, whether it's possibly replacing or rebuilding a transmission, which me personally, I'm going to be honest, I've had a transmission rebuilt. I don't recommend you getting I don't recommend you rebuilding the transmission. I do not recommend it at all. Just get a new one. And depending on the car, how old it is, the value of the car, just replace the car. Because if your car is worth $4,000, like, why would you buy a $3,000 transmission? Just go get a new car. Yeah. So that's one of those things where it's a bit tricky. So this car, the value of it is not worth me either rebuilding or buying a new transmission. So let's say we'll say $4,000. Because I've gone through this before. I know what this is like, having to have a transmission go out, have to get it rebuilt, et cetera, et cetera. So I know the cost associated with it. And back then, this was 10 years ago when this happened to me, actually maybe a little bit more than 10 years ago when this happened to me. It cost me $3,600 back then to rebuild my transmission. And the price for a new transmission was about the same. Funny thing is, we'll just say $4,000 now. Let's just throw some inflation in there. We'll just say $4,000 now. That car's value is not at $4,000, the one that I have. It was just my beater car until it just went. Now, me personally, I was hoping this car would last me another year or two. I was hoping to get it to 200,000 miles and then, you know, buy a Tesla. So I actually considered buying a Tesla, but then I looked at the prices and I was just like, dude, I hate car payments. And then I'd be trying to pay it off very quickly, which means that's a lot of money being thrown into a car, which I'd rather have that money thrown into either some stock investments or potentially something towards real estate. So I was like, nah, I feel guilty about trying to buy a Tesla right now. Smash the like button, guys, if you're in the building. And even if I were to get a new transmission for this car, I'd have to get new brakes. And then I'd also have to replace the timing belt, which that's going to be close to $6,000, which means why even put an amount of money that is more than the car's value into this car? It just didn't make sense to me. So I was like, hey, let me just look about getting a new car. So again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Money buys you time. Time buys you options. Now, why do I keep saying that? Why do I keep harping on that idea? Here's why. I always tell you guys, as a man, What is it important to have? Money. Money. It's so important to have money. Have a strong emergency fund, especially in the current environment that we're in now, you know, on the verge of a recession, inflation at a all-time high, gas at over $5 a gallon in a lot of places. It is important to have a very strong cash position. And I have been building up my strong cash position over the last few months. And boy, oh boy, talk about hard work paying off. It did, because in this scenario of my transmission going out, my car being down, I have the cash to cover such expense or such an ordeal. Again, money buys you time. Time buys you options. So here's why I keep harping on that. My transmission goes out. I don't have a car. Most people in this scenario would panic because they're like, oh, I got to get to work. I got to get to work. Oh, I got to do something. I got to do something. My scenario is, hey, I've got money. So if I go to take an Uber to go back and forth to work every day, I'm fine with that. I can take the cost of taking an Uber back and forth to work every day. I can do that. Some of you can't. You guys can't take an Uber back and forth to work every day. Again, money buys you time. The first part of that, me having a strong cash position, me having the money, it bought me time. So it didn't make me feel like I'm in a rushed position where I got to rush and make out and go and make a snap decision. I had time to really collect my thoughts, think about what my next step should be, and then execute. So again, money buys you time. And here's the part where the second part of the saying, time buys you options. Now that time bought me options. What are the options? I had the option to go get a Tesla. That was one of my options. Did I go that route? No, I didn't. I'll do that a little later. The other option I took was, hey, I had to analyze my situation. I have two young kids, 9 and 7, and they're still in that age where I can just still ride around in another minivan. If you guys didn't know, I drive a minivan. Okay, full disclosure. And I've been driving minivans for over 10 years now. And ironically, I actually like minivans, guys. Sounds weird. I actually like driving minivans. They're actually pretty cool, like in my opinion. They're spacious, a lot of room. They're very practical. You can haul tons of stuff. So like when my kids, they're currently, like I say, 9 and 7, we want to go to the park. We take the bikes. They can just throw them in the back of the minivan. There's none of this where I got to get a bike rack and then da da da. Like, no, minivans are boom, right? When I was doing the renovations over the summer last year, a lot of the lumber and stuff that I was hauling, I hauled it in the minivan. They're very practical. The world. So I like minivans. So I said to myself, hey, let me just get another minivan, because if I can get another minivan that would last me, let's say, 6 more years, let's say I get one that can last me 6 years, I was like, I'll take that. Because I said to myself, hey, this will be the last minivan that I get, the one that I'm about to purchase, which we'll go into that a little bit. I said, hey, I'll just get another one, ride it out until the kids get about that teenage age where they're, you know, sophomore in high school. Then I can upgrade and get a Tesla or really just like whatever I want at that point. And then I don't have to worry about it. So that was time buying me options, because I have time, right? I have the money. I have the money that which bought me the time. And then I had the time that bought me the options of doing what I want. Now, so what did I do? Monday, you know, went to the barbershop like normal. And I was like, all right, cool. I got a couple breaks in my schedule. I'll bring my laptop to work and then I'll search for some cars. I started the search on Sunday and I continued my search on Monday. So then I said to myself, okay, let me just look. And I looked, found some that I liked, a decent price point, and a few different places. So fast forward to Tuesday. Tuesday, I was like, all right, let's execute. So I have a car being delivered here to Dallas from CarMax. They're delivering me a car here in a couple days, and I paid for that. Also was like, hey, let me go down the Houston area. There's a car down there. I'll go check and see if this car, and if it's legit, I'll buy it today. So what I did was yesterday, I was like, okay, let me get a rental car. After I talked to the guy, everything seems copacetic. Let me get a rental car. Booked a rental car. I'm on my way to Houston. And again, this is going to make a lot of sense here in a second. So on my way to Houston, guy calls me. Good thing I haven't gotten out of Dallas yet. He calls me. He says like, hey, something's wrong. You know, blah, blah, blah. This is whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Turn around. I'm like, damn it. I done paid for the rental car already because obviously they're not going to give me my money back on the rental because I've already driven it off. And I was a little upset because I'm like, damn it, man. You told me it was cool. And then now you're like, hey, the AC's not blah, 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 blah. So I'm just like, oh, here we go. Freaking BS. So at home, so I'm just thinking to myself, what the hell am I going to do? I got this rental. And it's like, dude, I got this rental now. Like, what am I going to do now? I have this rental. I'm stuck. So what happens is I said to myself, wait, there's another car in Oklahoma that I wanted to look at. And it's actually a little bit closer than Houston. So what I did was I got in the horn with the guy, went over, you know, a few things, blah, blah, blah. Everything's copacetic. I'm on my way to Oklahoma. So I go to Oklahoma like yesterday in the afternoon. Spend most of the evening there. Test drove the car a couple times, you know, did the stuff. Boom, I bought the car. I don't have the car yet because they weren't prepared to sell the car that quickly. So they got to recondition it and blah, 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 blah. So I'll probably go back up to Oklahoma tomorrow and pick up the car. Now, that story I just told you falls in line with all of the principles that I tell you guys, which is why I talk about the coaching, consulting, mentoring. If you need it, hit me up on Instagram. I do a barber. I can help you get your life on track, get you straight, get you settled, because it's going to be work on your part. This isn't something where I'm like going to tell you and sprinkle some magic fairy dust and your life's going to be great. No, it's going to take a lot of work on your part to get to a point where being broke is not a joking matter. It's not fun, because all the while this whole ordeal is going on, I'm just saying to myself, imagine if I were broke. Imagine if I did not have this money right now. Imagine if my credit was not good right now. It's crazy. I can't imagine if I were broke in this scenario, because a lot of people in this scenario, they will fold. They'll be like, oh man, you know, this is how people lose jobs, because a car goes down and you can't make it to work. Now, let's imagine. Now, obviously, I'm not at work now, right? I'm podcasting. But imagine if I had a car, I didn't have any other means, I couldn't take public transportation, I don't have any friends or family that can take me to work, I don't have money for Uber. I'm going to jeopardize my job because my car failed me. That's not the type of life you want to be living, guys. This is the stuff I want you to steer away from, the type of lifestyle I want you to veer left from. Get away from this life. Step into the easy lane. What is that? Having good credit, having a strong cash reserve, having investments in the bank where you don't have to worry in the case of an emergency, because we have emergency fund money. And again, I told you guys this before months ago, how I was like, hey man, I'm building up my cash reserve because I have a feeling something's going to happen, whether it's an opportunity to invest or maybe just something like this, right? My transmission went out on my van. My van's done. It's done. I can't drive the damn thing. Haven't driven it since Saturday. I've turned it on, but have not driven it since Saturday. I turned it on, I think, yesterday, and I just had the car. I put it in reverse, and then it's just there idling, and then you feel the car jerk, and I'm just like, dude, this shit is done. This transmission is finito, okay? So I would not have been able to do the stuff that I did because of this. Now, fortunately for me, Tuesday was my day off. And again, this goes, remember how I was talking about how in barbering, I don't like being booked, and being a booked barber is being over is for me is overrated because I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I'm not a booked barber, guys. I'm not booked. I have room in my schedule and I actually like it like this because what this does is this gives me flexibility in my schedule where if I want to block off a certain time, I can do that. If I want to block a day off, I can do that. Because if I have something that's going on, I can easily snap to it. And that is what happened. Or, I mean, I was a little bit fortunate because I had Sunday off and I had Tuesday off. So I just basically used my day off Tuesday. But for me to go pick up the car, if it's going to be ready tomorrow, I can block off my schedule, part of my schedule for tomorrow. I've got early appointments tomorrow, but I can block off my late, the later part of my schedule, if no one books, of course, and get this done. So I'm not stressed. So that part of being a booked barber, like imagine if I was booked 2 weeks out, I'd have to block off days and disappoint tons of people. I don't like doing that. That to me, that's not cool. Which actually, speaking of blocking off schedules, let me block off something else real quick. I just thought about this. I was like, whoa, oh, let me block off a little bit more. Cause, I realize after this podcast, I need to shave. I need to do a bunch of little stuff. But sorry, guys, bear with me. I'm over here updating my schedule whilst podcasting. Go figure, right? There we are. What the hell? Overlapping. What the hell? See, okay, let me get off of this. I'll get back to that later. So, this scenario, let's recap. Transmission goes out on Saturday. I start the search for a car Sunday evening. Monday, whilst at work, had some downtime, was looking for cars, looking for potential prospects, lined them all up. Monday, boom. Watch the Warriors beat them damn Celtics. One win away from Dub Nation. Tuesday, start to execute on the things that I planned out for Monday. Got a deal. Now, with the deal. So with this car cost about $25,000. I put half of it down. Okay. I could have paid for the car in cash in full. But I said, I want to keep my cash. I don't want to put all of my cash on the line right now. I prefer to keep some of my cash. So I will have a car payment for about 6 to 8 months because I told myself this car is going to be paid off before the year's over. I'm going to pay off the rest of this car before the year's over. That's a non-negotiable. I'm going to pay this car off before the year's over. Funny thing, how being broke is no joke, and how being on the other side of broke, the opposite end of broke, the opposite end of the spectrum is amazing. I was thinking about the amount of money that I make in dividends every month. I could pay for my car for my dividends. Can you imagine that? Passive income is paying for my car. Wow. Can you imagine? And this is the life of an investor, and this is why people like investment money and like to put their money into investments, because that money that you get from investments can pay for toys, can pay for your lifestyle to where you don't have to use your active income to pay for these things. So I just thought about that. Wow, my dividend income could pay for my car. Wow. Now, funny, it just hit me. But here's the thing. I'm not a fan of car payments. I hate car payments. I don't like having my future income already taken from me because I have an obligation of a car payment. And that's what a car payment is. That's what any payment is. You're obligated to pay something in the future from your future earnings. So your future earnings are already accounted for. Boom. It's accounted for already. It's just when that date comes, they're going to take it. So I hate car payments. But in this scenario, I was like, okay, I'll just put $12,000 down. I'll finance the rest. I'll pay it off within the next 6 to 8 months. I'm cool with that. or probably within the year. Actually, you know what? No, I'll put 12 months, 6 to 8 months. No, I'll put 12 months. I'll pay this off within 12 months. And I'm cool with that. Now, also within the recap, credit, top notch. So for a lot of you, you guys don't have good credit. You can't go out and finance a car at a moment's notice. This is why I tell you, this is what those core tenets of being a man. And what's those core tenets? You need to have $20,000 to $50,000 in the bank. Yeah. You need to have good credit. You need to have a job where you can sustain yourself without anyone else. These are core tenets of manhood. And a lot of guys don't follow the guides of this. You don't follow in this. Now, one of the barbers at the shop, I was cutting his hair, and he was telling me how one of his clients got kicked out of the apartment from his girlfriend. His girlfriend kicked him out of his apartment. And then he was asking this barber to if he had a place he could stay. And I'm like, wow, as a man, you should never be in a position where if a woman kicks you out, you have to go sleep on someone's couch. These are the core tenets of manhood. If he had $20,000 to $50,000 in the bank, good credit, and a job where he could sustain and pay all the bills on his own, he could literally just walk across the street and get a lease on an apartment. He could possibly go put a down payment and buy a house. These are the core tenets of manhood. You should never be in that position as a man where if you got kicked out or blah, 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 you can't sustain yourself. Slap yourself if that is you right now and tell yourself, I'm going to get myself out of this situation. Come hell or high water. I don't know how you're going to do it. Maybe you book a consulting call with me and we can get you there. But I was just thinking about this, the barber in my shop while I was doing his beard and he was telling me the story. I was like, dude, if this dude followed my guides, he would not be in this situation. Now, another scenario, I had a client who was like, hey, you know, this was a while ago, which I was telling him about this and I was telling him how he was asking me for money because he was short on his rent and he says his card wasn't working. And I said to myself, strange. Now, I have a rule. I don't loan people money. I give people money. So I'm not going to give or loan you money and be like, oh, I'll pay you back next Thursday. No, I don't play that game. If I'm going to give you, I'm just going to give you money. Because here's the thing. I do loan people money, but it comes with interest. You got to pay interest on the money that I loan you. That's how I operate. And we're writing up promissory notes and everything. Yep, I'm going to have a copy of your ID and everything. I'm writing it up that way. I don't play the game of like, because that you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. You do it that way. I'll just take you to small claims court. Cool. Now, and here's another thing too, for some of you that if you, cause a lot of people feel like they're obligated. Like if someone asks you for money and you say no, knowing that you have the means, you may feel a little guilty. Don't feel guilty. That's your money. Don't feel obligated. Just like I told you earlier about protecting your energy. Don't feel obligated to respond to messages on Instagram and all this other silly. Don't feel obligated. This is your time. You should be more offended that someone's like, dude, you're trying to take my time away. Oh, you're trying to take my money away. You should be feel more offended, in my opinion. Now, one thing you could do, I'll say, you know, cause some of you are like, man, I don't want to do a promissory note. They could still da da da. Hey, ask for collateral. Collateralize the loan. You can do it that way. Like, all right, you want to borrow $1,000 from me? Okay, give me something of yours that's worth $1,000 and I'll do the loan. That way, if you default, hey, I have collateral here. So you could do it that way, guys. So just another option. Now, back to the story. So credit's in order. Again, money buys you time. Time buys you options. So the money bought me the time. The time gave me all these options because I've had the money. And I found out because I know I have good credit. I just don't know what the number is. I know some people, they check their credit score every day. Me personally, I don't check my credit score every day. I don't. Sorry. I just don't. And my credit score yesterday, once the guy pulled it up in financing, credit score was 777, 777. kind of funny because I was in Oklahoma and they have casinos there. So it's like, you know, 3-7s. But so, yeah, I wasn't in there sweating bullets, you know, biting my nails. If I'm going to get approved, I already know I'm going to get approved. I'm not worried about that. I have good credit. And a lot of you don't. And you guys are getting hit over the head with these 16, 20% interest rates on an auto loan where they're like, oh, man, you know, this is just for you to help build your credit back. You know, these predatory loans that some of you guys have on these vehicles that you own. And also, remember how we were talking about gap insurance? We talked about this, I don't know how long ago on the podcast, but I was talking about some of the most worthless types of insurance products out there, gap insurance being one of them. It's the dumbest insurance that you can buy. It's funny because the guy in finance, he was like, oh, well, guess you don't need gap insurance. I was like, yep, you got that right. Because I put half down. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny because I remember in that podcast where I was talking about those worthless insurance products, people were trying to defend gap insurance. Like, oh man, you know, I got into this wreck and then the gap insurance helped pay my car off, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not saying gap insurance is bad because it helped pay your car off. I'm telling you gap insurance is bad because that indicates that you got a bad deal. That's what it indicates. It indicates that you got a bad deal. That's what that indicates. And, you know, just trying to get that through stupid people's heads is a little crazy. So that's the whole scenario with what happened with me. And after going through all this and, you know, everything, it just makes me think, if I were broke, I'm just like, wow. Because look, guys, I've been broke before. Some of you watching this right now might be broke. You may have been broke and you got out of it and said, hey, you made the promise to yourself like I did, like, oh, I'm never going to be broke again. It's one of those things where it's just like, oh my gosh. Can you imagine? Like if I didn't imagine, let's just say my credit score was 670. Let's say I only had $1,000 in my bank account or $2,000 in my bank account, which is hardly any money for a down payment on a car, right? Because if you're going to put, if you only have $2,000 in the bank, and let's say you try to put $1,000 down, you only have $1,000 left. Gas is at all time highs. How are you getting there? Now, look, I drove to Oklahoma. I rented a car. Yep, rented a car, paid for it. I wasn't like asking people, hey man, can you give me a ride to Oklahoma? I'll pay for your gas and depreciate their car in the process. No, I wasn't doing that. I have money because money buys you time. Time buys you options. I have the money to where I can pay for a rental car and go to Oklahoma. That's no problem for me. I'll do that. I'm not going to inconvenience anyone. I'm not going to ask anyone because, oh, you know, I'm broke and, oh, I'm trying to save money. No, that's what the money is for. That's what the emergency money is for. It's for you to use at your discretion when an emergency happens. Now, of course, you have to use your money, I wouldn't say sparingly, but you know, you want to be a good manager of the money. Don't just be out here frivolously spending money. Like, oh, snap, I'm going to go fly first class to Oklahoma and get. No, that's impractical, okay? It's practical for me to get a rental car, go up there, check it out, bring it back, boom, boom, boom. Okay, because I don't have a car. I don't want to drive my wife's car because obviously she has to work and blah, blah, blah. So, hey, I'll just spend $140 to get a rental, drive up here. If it didn't work out, hey, I'm out of $140. Whoop-dee-doo. Again, money buys you time. Time buys you options. Being broke is not a joking matter. I'm telling you guys, I'm warning you, the recession's almost here. Inflation is that I wouldn't say an all-time high, but it's pretty damn high. Food prices, there is a potential food shortage looming. Guys, and what's so funny about the food shortage thing, I'm thinking about stocking up my deep freezer with some meats. I really am. I bought some meats recently, and I'm thinking about going back and buying more meats here because I'm telling you, this is not cool at all. not cool. And I want to say I feel bad for people, but I also want to say I don't feel bad for people. Those people that are irresponsible, reckless, I don't feel bad for you, or if you're that type of person, I don't feel bad for you one iota. The people I feel bad for are the people that are, you know, trying to get themselves out of the situation and just like in a really rough position. I feel bad for those people. Because here's the thing with managing money, managing finances, being responsible, that's all on you. A lot of it is just behavior. It's not for some people, oh, I just don't have enough money. Oh, da, da, da. It's behavior. Stop spending more money than you earn. Stop living to the top of your income. Set money aside for emergencies. Take care of your credit, because there's a direct correlation with how good your credit score is and how responsible you are as a person. I'll tell you this. Every time I had bad credit in my life, which I've had bad credit, I think two or three times. I'll say three times, because when I first started in my credit journey, I had bad credit. So I had bad credit because I had no credit. So whatever. But the three times I had bad credit in my life, I look back on those times and I was irresponsible during those times. I was irresponsible. I'm just here to tell you, I was irresponsible in those moments. All of the times that I had good credit, I was responsible. I was paying everything on time. I really cared about my credit. I was responsible during those times. And currently, I am responsible in this time because I know how important it is. And again, let's go back to the three core tenets of manhood that I think every man should have. $20,000 to $50,000 in your bank account, not credit. I'm not talking credit, because I have, you know, $20,000+ in available credit at my disposal. But no, we're not talking about credit. We're talking about cash. So $20,000 to $50,000 in cash at all times. Core tenant number one. Core tenant number two, good credit. I'll say 760 and above, right? 760 and above, which I'm going to talk about that in a second, why you need to have it above 760. I was going to say 750, and smash the like button if you're in the building. Why not? Smash the damn like button. Why are y'all playing? I swear, people, this is what I'm saying about people online. Smash the like button. You guys know what it is. 760 or above credit score, and having a job where you can sustain yourself on your own, where you can pay all the bills on your own. You need to have a job where you can do this. Now, smash the like button. Let's talk about that credit score for a second and why you need to have a credit score above 760 at all times. Here's why. I was talking with one of my clients over the weekend, and he was telling me about how it's, you know, I was like, yo, credit's important. And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, my credit score is, you know, it's pretty good, you know, it's this. And I told him, I was like, no, it's not. I was like, that's not a good credit score. I was like, no, that's not a good credit score. Because we were talking about him doing something. I forget exactly what it was. Like maybe him applying for some credit product or whatever. But then he was like, oh man, they're going to hit me with the inquiries and blah, 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 and drop the credit score. See, that's that stuff I'm talking about right there. When you have a credit score that's 760 and above, and I would argue a little higher, but we'll just go 760. Inquiries, let's say an inquiry drops your credit score 3 points, 5 points. Let's go 5 points. When you have a credit score above 760, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a credit score above 760 and an inquiry drops your credit score by 5 points. Ooh, my credit score just moved 5 points. Ooh, no. I told you guys earlier, when the guy ran my credit to do the financing for this vehicle, my credit score was 777. Let's say my credit score moved 15 points, 20 points. Let's say my credit score moved 20 points. We'll just go round it up. Let's go smooth 20. My credit score would still be 757. That's pretty good credit. When you look at the little things, that's still pretty good credit. Yeah. You don't need to be in these positions. This is what I'm talking about, the core tenets of manhood. You cannot be in these positions where, oh man, my credit score is a little shaky, like I'm sweating bullets, I'm biting my nails in the finance. No, stop. Have a good credit score. Look, I've had an over 800 credit score. Obviously it's not that anymore because when I paid my wife's car off, I think it was like last year, both of our credit scores dropped. Mine dropped, I think, 40 points. It went down to like 760 something. But you see what I'm talking about with the importance of having good credit at all times. Even though my credit score dropped 40 something points, my credit score was still 760 something. Do you see the difference, guys? I'm warning you. You have been warned. Being broke is no joking matter. I don't want this for you because I'm going to tell you what. Don't come asking me for money. Don't come to me with a sob story because I'm not going to feel bad for you. I've been talking about this stuff for years on the podcast. The direction of the podcast has changed and shifted. I've been telling you guys this stuff for years. Stop it right now. Get your shit together. Life is not a joking matter. Stop trying to look cool. Stop trying to impress people. Because all of this stuff with like, oh, you know, like he's got this, he's got that. Yeah, he might have that, but he's not living right. You know, let's peel back some of the layers and let's see the true details of what's going on here. Yeah, there's some stuff a little messed up here. Yeah, this don't go together. This isn't matching. Like, no. Perfect example. Another little story before I get out of here. Saturday, another one of my clients is telling me a story about how he was hanging out with a chick. He's at her house, blah, blah, blah. He goes to walk his dog, and she lives in one of those apartments where you got to get a parking pass, otherwise your car will get towed. So he's out walking his dog, like, all right, I'm going to walk my dog. And he sees a tow truck towing her car. And he's thinking like, oh, man, I got her car towed because, he's using the parking pass in her spot, blah, blah, blah. No, that wasn't the case. Her car was being towed because it was getting repoed. Yeah. Why was it getting repoed? Because this girl was 6 months late. Yeah, 6 months late. I'm actually surprised they waited 6 months to come get the car. But while, when he told me this, I have follow-up questions. So I was like, hey, so you've hung out with her before? He's like, yeah. When you hung out with her, I was like, so he told me, he's like, man, she was like, we're out eating, having a good time. Like she bought a new outfit and blah, blah, blah. And I asked him, I was like, wait, when you guys went out, was it during that 6 month stretch of her inactivity of paying her car, her delinquency? And he was like, yep. And I was like, see, this is how irresponsible people are out here. And this is what I'm telling you guys. Don't just judge a book by the cover. You got to peel back the layer. You got to open up the book, read a few chapters. People are living foul left, right, and center out here. Yeah, they may look like they're doing it up. They may look like, oh, snap, he's doing this, he's doing that. But the reality is totally different. These people are bullshitting you, guys. I'm telling you, they're living a facade, a fake life. They're living a life on credit, or they're living a life where they're just blowing their credit, right? They're blowing up their financial situation, and that ain't cool at all. And if you have your life in order, these things should not happen to you, because I'm old enough to know emergencies happen. As I told you earlier from the podcast, that emergency happened to me over the weekend. And did I sweat bullets? No. Was I worried? Was I stressed out? No, I wasn't stressed. I was only pissed that the car didn't last me a little bit longer, because I was hoping that the car would have lasted me another year, possibly two if I was lucky. But I was hoping that the car would last me another year. That was the only thing that I was upset about. I wasn't upset that the transmission went out and I've got to get a new car and blah, blah, blah. No. Why? I have a good credit and I have the money to cover these types of things. Smash the like button if you're in the building. If you're feeling the contest, smash the like button, share the podcast. Being broke is not a joking matter. I'm trying to tell you guys. And this is as far as it can go. Book a consultant call if you need help. But that's my story with you. Like I say, I've been broke before. I've had good credit, had bad credit, had good credit, had bad credit. I've been through many cycles of good credit and bad credit. I've been through the cycle of being broke and then not being broke. I'm telling you, you'd rather have money. You'd rather have good credit. You'd rather have a job that you can pay your bills and you can sustain yourself and thrive, and you have money from investments. So appreciate y'all for tuning in. I'm going to get out of here. It's been your man. I do a sign out. I'll holler.